want to continue kind of building off the thought that we started last week. And this week I want to talk about get in the game. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get in the game. Luke chapter 19 says that when he had said this, he went ahead going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite of you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to them, because the Lord needs it. Because the Lord needs it. And we are entering into a new season called football season. Come on, somebody. Is anybody ready for that? A season filled with frustrating Illinois losses that should have been wins. I'm already preparing myself. But as we enter this season, it's a season where 100,000 people will get together to watch 22 men run up and down a field, right? And there's very few people who will actually get into the game. And what I want to tell you is that the kingdom of God isn't like that. The kingdom of God thrives when people get into the game. There's nothing better than actually getting into the game, getting some playing time, getting to actually have a effect on the outcome of the game. As one song said, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Powerful. How many's ready to get in the game? How many's tired of sitting on the sidelines? You want to be involved in what God is. That's all right. You can clap to that. Go ahead and clap to that. There's nothing greater that you can do than getting involved in the kingdom of God. And as we talked about last week, making a difference. There's nothing better. That is your purpose of life, is to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And we read in this text today that Jesus, he gets to Jerusalem. He gets just outside of Jerusalem, and he's preparing for his great entry into Jerusalem and the Passion Week that will lead up to the crucifixion. But as he gets there, he tells his disciples, he says, go into a village, verse 30, opposite of you, and as you enter it, you're going to find a colt. Or a donkey that's tied. And he says, when you get there, loose it. And he says that no one has ever sat on this donkey. He said, I want you to loose it, and I want you to bring it to me. And this detail has always made me kind of chuckle when I read it. He says, if anyone gives you trouble, if, you know, maybe the donkey just might belong to somebody, just tell them the Lord needs it. And they'll know what I mean, right? And it's like, I always thought, like, if you could put that story in modern times, and, you know, it, like, happens around here, and Jesus says, go to Payne and McDonald's, and there's going to be a Honda Civic with the keys in it. And if anybody gives you a problem, just say, God needs it. I'll bring it right back. Don't worry. But there's a lot of interesting things in this story, and we don't know what this donkey's name was. Maybe it was Jack. We don't know, but this donkey did not know what God had prepared for him. Because the greatest triumphal entry in the history of the world would be on this donkey. And I think this story is a whole lot more than about a donkey. I think it's showing us that God has a purpose for things and objects that go well beyond what we can see. And he says, I want you to loose it, and I want you to bring it here. And he says, no one has ever sat on this donkey before. Now, I don't know about you. I've never ridden a donkey. But I think from what I hear, they need to be broken. Like the first ride might be kind of adventurous. Is that right? Can anyone confirm that? I didn't Google that, but that's just what I've heard. And of all the donkeys to pick, he picks this one that no one's ever been on. And it's brand new, and it's just been tied up to this post or this tree or whatever it is. And that's what Jesus chose for his purpose, to carry him in the greatest entry in human history. And I want to just ask you this, is that maybe that's a picture of us. That maybe Jesus, he's looking for people who are tied up. He's looking for people that their purpose has been held down and they've been suppressed. And that donkey, maybe it sat there every day. And all I can think of is the voice of Shrek, the character of Shrek. Donkey, that's the name of it, right? I should know that. I've watched it 100 million times the past 6 years. I can think of the voice of Donkey, and he's sitting there, and he knows he needs to be doing stuff. He knows that he could give rides just like everybody else. He could do the work that all the other donkeys are doing, and maybe all the other donkeys, they pass by him every day, and he just looks at them with utter contempt because they get to get in the game. They get to be used. But here he is tied up to this post, his purpose not being realized. And then one day, a couple of guys say, Jack, let's go take a ride. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords gets on this donkey. And there's people screaming, there's people looking at him, give the creator of the universe the greatest honor of carrying him into Jerusalem. Now, here's where I want to go with this. I believe that there's some of us today, our purpose has been tied up. We've been on the sidelines for too long. We've looked at what people are doing. We've looked at people fulfilling their purpose. We looked at people who are in the game, and we're frustrated. Has anybody ever been frustrated? Has anybody ever felt like you're tied up? Anybody ever feel like your wheels are just spinning in the mud? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus wants to unloose you. He wants you to carry him. He wants you to carry his purposes. Why? Because he needs you. Do you know that God needs you? Now, here's what I want to say is that he doesn't have to need us. How many knows that he can create universes? He can speak life. He can create the Milky Way galaxy with one whisper. How many knows that's the God we're talking about today? So when I say that he needs us, he chooses to need us. He chooses to use us. He chooses for us to be his vessels. Why? Because he knows there's a need inside of us that has to be fulfilled. And the only way that is fulfilled is to get in the game, is to get off the sidelines, to untie us. How many wants God to untie you and to loosen you and to bring you into your destiny so that the kingdom of God can grow? I wish somebody would get excited about that. Anybody glad you get to serve in the kingdom of God? And so God gives us a means by which we can do that. And that is, we got to get in the game. And how do we get in the game? We get in the church. Get involved in the local church. Ephesians 2:19 says, so you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. How many is glad you're here today? How many is glad you're in God's house? With God's people. And so the church is a family, and you're a member of that family. We talk about the church. We talk about the church locally and universally. That we are a part of this body. And a Christian without a church is like a child without a home. We need the church because it's where we find our purposes. And here, one of our stated purposes is we exist to connect people to God's presence. We talked about last week, we are a kingdom of priests. We are a royal priesthood. And what do priests do? They connect people to God and God with people. And you know what God uses to do that? Us. He doesn't use robots. He doesn't have any other plan but us. And so 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Can I use another sports analogy? I promise this will be the last one today. You're a first-round draft pick. Maybe you're not a first-round draft pick in anything else, but when it comes to this, you are. God said, I'm going to select them. I'm going to choose them. Maybe they're rejected by everybody else, but I am going to choose them to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How many is glad that Jesus chose you? I wonder if I could get some people to stand on your feet right now and say, thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Thank you, Jesus, for calling me out of light into darkness. Thank you, God, when I was without power to help myself, you chose me. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God chose you. Then say, I don't know why. I don't know why God chose me. I don't know why God chose you, but here we are. And so we are a priest. We connect people to God. And the only way that we connect people to God is this. You got to get in the game. You know why God ultimately had to reject Israel and had to move on to another program? A major reason is this. They refused to get in the game. They refused to be the people he called them to be. Why? To bring the nations to himself. And so today, I want to give us some steps. And if you're here today and you're visiting, this sermon is going to be largely focused on the family of God that's already here, but you're more than welcome to pull a seat up to the table. But the first way that we get in the game is this. Be here. Be here. Be in God's house. Psalm 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. If you want God to do great things in your life, if you want to get in the game, you've got to be where the game's being played. You got to get into God's house. You got to be present. You have to be around. You look at some of the people that God used in the Old and New Testaments. They were people that just happened to be around. They hung around long enough. And here's what happens when you hang around. The anointing rubs off. How many wants the anointing of God in your life? The anointing rubs off. You don't know how to pray, hang around some prayer warriors. You don't know how to worship, hang around some people who worship. You want to know how to be successful in life, come to God's house. And I want to tell us, this morning and Wednesday night, those are the primary ways that we connect together. And we say, well, I really enjoy watching online, and that's great. Last week, I think we had about 1,500 views online. To those of you watching online, get here. I hope the coffee's hot where you're at. I hope breakfast was good. But how many wants them to get here? Come on, let them know. We want you here. That God's house needs to be full. Why? You're needed. God needs you. And what does this look like? Well, the first thing is this. We need you here to worship, to praise God. We need you here. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And he says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But it's even more powerful when there's more than two or three. It's greater when there's 200 or 300. Why? Because my faith connects with your faith, and my worship begins to build off your worship. And that's why it's so important. And can I do a little pastoring this morning? We need to get back to that old school feel we used to have around here where people would fill this altar during worship. We need some young people. Leave your pew. Get down here and worship. We need some older saints that will grab somebody and say, come worship with me right now. Does that make you any more saved? No. But what it does is it creates momentum and worship. And I need, you know why I need you to worship? Because there's some Sundays I don't want to worship. Yeah, last week, Bishop, during prayer, kept saying, my soul says yes, and I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't feeling it. My soul was saying no. But I need some people to say, my soul says yes. Even when you don't feel like it, God's still good. Even when you're down in the dumps, God is still worthy. Even when you're not feeling it, I need somebody that has faith to say, let's worship. Oh, no, 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 you're not going to sit out today. We're going to worship the Lord together. I wish I had some worshipers in the house today. Is there any worshipers in the house today? And this church was not built off spectators. I'm gonna go in on this. This church was not built on spectators. We didn't come to watch a really well-produced worship program. We came to interact. We came to participate. Why? Because we did not delegate people to worship for us on this platform. They cannot worship for you. You have to pray, find a praise in your own heart. You have to find a way to lift up your hands, and you have to find a way. And when we all do that, there's something that happens when the glory of God comes down. There's liberty in the house, that people are refreshed. People are strengthened in the worship service that happens every Sunday. Does anybody want to see great things happen in worship? People are connected to God's presence by His church loving others. When we come here and we love on other people, we encourage other people. And I just want to start right here with this thought, and that is, church is not about you. Church is not about you. What if we all showed up here every Sunday with that thought? Church today isn't about me. Who can I encourage? Who can I pray for? Who can I uplift? Who can I minister to? Why? Because the church is not about me. And too many of us, we show up here looking for somebody to feed us. We look for somebody to always encourage us. And we have those moments. And if you need encouraged, you get here. But the goal is that you get strengthened so that you can unleash it and you can feed other people and that you can be someone other people depend upon. Does anybody want that? Anybody want that? We are connected. We connect people to God's presence through prayer. We need a new generation of prayer warriors. We need some people that you fast and you don't need a chart to do it. We need some people who will just feel a burden, if you want to use that word, to feel an unction by the Holy Spirit that I need to fast for my church this week. I need to fast for some people in the church that I know are fighting a battle. Come on, is that okay? We've got to learn to fast and pray on our own. We need some people that we're in the midst of the battle, that you already are in tune with that in the spirit, and nobody has to tell you anything, nobody has to announce anything, but you just know, I need to fast and pray this week. Everything that we have here today, fasting and prayer. I remember growing up as a kid that people, and you've probably heard me tell this story before, people would come here to Herrick and they would ask Bishop, now what's the secret? And they'd have their little notepad, what's the secret? And you know how Bishop does. He would just keep walking and say, fasting and prayer. That's good. But really, fasting and prayer. Everything, any program we have, what was at the root of it? Fasting and prayer. Every breakthrough that we've had, what was at the root of it? Fasting and prayer. And we have a generation that I think we've ridden the coattails long enough, and I'm asking people my age and under, we need to get in the game and fasting and prayer, and not just wait to the 21-day fast in January. You can fast in August and September, and it doesn't have to be a 10-day fast. It can be a one-day fast that changes things, that changes the climate of a family, that changes the destiny of a church. Come on, does anybody want to rise up and stay in the gap and fasting and prayer? We need prayer warriors who will pray for your church, that will pray for your family, that will pray for situations to change. We are connected to God's presence by the teaching of His Word. We are a Word church that's rooted in the Word of God. We are standing on the Word of God. And I want to just put out another plug for campus groups that will start here in October. And I'm asking if everybody could get here for a campus group. And maybe you're saying, well, you know what? I don't really need all that. I'm spiritually mature. I've been here for years. I don't really need any of those classes. I've heard it all before. Well, great. You can come show us how it's done. I'm serious. Come share your wisdom. Share your experiences. Why? Because we have people who need you to minister to them, which leads me to the next point. The next way we get in the game is through serving. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, what did he say? The harvest is plentiful. It's not for a lack of lost people. It's not for a lack of work. It's not for a lack of things that need to be done. It's that the laborers are few. There are few people who say, I want to serve. There are few people who say, I want to get in the game. Another way to read this is this: the harvest is plentiful, but too many people are on the sidelines. Now, can I pastor again for just a moment? I've given you a lot of material not like me today. I've shut down the Eva Hunt on Sunday morning. But we have too many people who show up at 10 a.m. and leave at 11:30. And you give, and I appreciate that, but we need you to get in the game. We need you to get involved. Thank you for the golf clap. I appreciate it. We need you to do something, even if it's once a month. It would be a huge help. I've got a list of, you want to know, a list of stuff. Okay, I got it. We need people who will serve in Kids Blast. So if we could have some grandpas and some guys my age, some men who will go to Kids Blast. We need men. And you say, well, I don't know how to teach. I don't know how to. If you could just stand there and give high fives to little boys as they enter into that space, that would mean so much. If we could have some men. I'm not asking for every Sunday until Jesus comes. Once a month, if you could volunteer for that department, and all you have to do is smile, be friendly, and be whatever the team needs you to do. I promise you, you may not ever have to teach. If you can be a part of that ministry, we need you. God needs you. We need volunteers for parking team. We need people who can ride around on a golf cart. I know some people who can do that. We need some people who can pick people up at their cars when it's cold, bring them to the front door. Why is that important? Because so many people will come to a conclusion about our church between the parking lot and the front door. And you have the opportunity to be the face of Jesus to that hurting person. And so if we could find some volunteers and you say, I'll give you one Sunday a month, we'll take it. We need some people who will cook for CR, bring a dessert for CR, do anything in that department. Again, if we'll take what you can give us, just whatever you have to offer. You say, well, I can't cook, but I could show up and help set up. We will take that. Rachel, will we take that? We'll take it. We need people who will be greeters on Sunday. We need people that will be friendly and welcome people as they enter into God's house. And I could go on and on, but here's one area of need. We need choir members. Isn't this choir great? Does anybody love this choir? I know it's so much for me to plug into worship when there's you know people up here beyond just the praise team, it adds an extra element. And so if we could get some choir members, don't make me name names right now, but just a few extra people, say, I'll be a part of choir. God needs you. We need people who will simply ask this, where can I go to make a difference? Where can I go to make a difference? Well, I just gave you a few areas and there's so many more. It would take up a whole sermon. And so we get in the game by getting involved. And I hope I've inspired some of you to move, to make a move. Why? Because the greatest blessings that you'll have in your life aren't in that pew. It's when you get out of that pew. Go minister to other people. And you know the strength things that happen when you're hurting? What I found when I'm hurting, when I go minister to someone else, God strengthens me. God gives me what I need. Why? Because that's how the anointing works. The next way that we get in the game is through giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one of you must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. We give our resources. We give our time, our talent, and our treasure. And we have a giving church. And I just want to say, everything that we have, everything that we're able to do is because of your consistent, sacrificial giving. And I just want us to praise God for the grace he's given us to give. Come on, can we thank God for a giving church? But we follow the principle of the tithe around here, and that we believe that we give God our 10%. And that belongs to the house of worship where we get fed. And you know, it's so funny. I see it so often now on Facebook. And I talked about last week about handling those types of interactions well. But one of the ways that I have to walk away from a keyboard is, and I'm seeing it more and more now, people asking, why does a church need money? Help me, Jesus. And they're more than happy to come pick up backpacks. Don't get me started. I don't need to go there. Why does the church need money? Well, do you have an hour sometime to come sit down with me and I'll explain to you why a church needs money? All the things that we do around here require funding. Keeping the lights on, keeping the air on, the ministries that we do, the people we feed, the people we give back to in this community, it takes money. Believe it or not, God does not send us a check every week. Believe it or not. And I just want to say that happens because people give. People consistently give to God's house. And we've been able to accomplish everything that we've accomplished through fasting and prayer and people faithfully giving back to the kingdom of God. The word believe is used 272 times in the Bible. The word pray is used 371 times in the Bible. The word love is used 714 times in the Bible. But the word give is used 2,161 times in the Bible. You see, giving is the verb of the Bible. It is God's very nature. And what I want to encourage you here today, maybe you're new and you're like, well, 10% just sounds really high to me. It just sounds so outrageous to me. Well, first of all, check out your tax bill. And second of all is this, start somewhere. Start giving something and watch God bless you. Start somewhere. Start stretching yourself. By faith. You see, Jesus is God's tithe to us. Did you know that? And so it's my pleasure to give back to him. Does anyone feel that way? When you think about the cross, could you put a price tag on the cross? Could you put a price tag? God healed my son, and there is no amount of money I could put on that. But Jesus did it. And so 10%'s a bargain. And it's my pleasure to give back to the kingdom of God. When we tithe, we're imitating what God has done for us. and we're giving back. Why do we give? We don't give because we need the money. We're not giving just so God will bless us back. I'm giving, why? Because my heart and my treasure are in this house and in the kingdom of God. And if we could see everything that this church has accomplished and affected through giving, I think it would just absolutely blow our mind. And now's not the time for us to stop giving. I know things are tight. I know that with inflation and everything, it's crazy. But I want to tell us, God's going to keep us. God's going to protect us. God's going to get us through this season. Why? Because we have faithfully given as a church. And never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. So we give. And then the last thing we do is to get in the game, we witness. We witness. We open our mouth. We invite people to church. And we tell people what Jesus has done for us. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." Did you know why God fills you with the Holy Ghost? Is to witness. The reason God fills us with the Holy Ghost isn't so we'll become Pentecostal. It's so that we'll witness, that we'll bring people to Jesus, that we'll have boldness. How many knows we need boldness like never before? We need to connect God to people and people to God. And that only happens through us stepping outside of our comfort zone and bringing people to Jesus. We need now more than ever to be unashamed of who we are. How many isn't ashamed of who you are? How many is not ashamed to belong to a worshiping church? How many is not ashamed to believe to belong to a Bible-believing church? How many is not ashamed to belong to a Holy Ghost-filled church? How many is not ashamed to belong to a church that's separated from the world and that's moving? I wish somebody today, how many is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation. How many is not ashamed to say, "I speak in tongues"? How many is not ashamed to say, "I've been baptized in the name above every other name"? If you remain standing all across the house, now's not the time to be passive. But now's the time, more than ever, to be passionate. God, renew our passion for your house. And that's what I'm asking today. I'm asking for some people to get, some of us were used to be in the game and we've left. We need to get back in the game. We need to ask God to refill my passion. Restore my zeal for your house, for your kingdom. Why? Because I want to make a difference. We only passed through here one time, and I want to make a difference. We need more people that will teach Bible studies. You know, you don't need to get my permission to teach Bible studies. We need some people that will just gather people together, disciple them, bring them in to the kingdom of God. This church was built on Bible studies. This church was built off people who did one-on-one evangelism. We've got to get back to it. I want to close today with this. If you're here today, maybe it's your first time here, maybe you've been coming for a while, we want you to get in the game too. How do you get in the game? Well, first of all, you need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to give your life to Jesus. We do that all across the house right now. Lord, I give you my life. I want to tell you that if you come into the kingdom of God, you're going to experience some of the greatest experiences you've ever had in God's house with God's people. And it all starts with giving your heart to Jesus Christ, making him the Lord of your life. How many's tired of living life your way? I'm going to give my life to Jesus today. Can we do that all in the house today? Lord, I give you my life. I give you my future. I give you my sin. God, forgive me of any sin in my heart. Lord, I pray against anything, Lord, that's separating me from you. God, any rebellion in my heart, Lord, I give it to you. I surrender completely. then your next step to get in the game is you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And we can do that right now. Come on, somebody. How many knows that today's the day? If you've been thinking about it, come see me. We'll bury you in the name of Jesus. Then God has promised that he will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be set on fire for him. You're going to do the supernatural. How many wants to do the supernatural in your life? How many wants to see God use you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover? How many wants to see God use you to lead people in the direction of Christ? So today, we're going to open up this altar today. And if you need something from God, come to this altar. If you need touched, get in this altar. If you need someone to pray with you, get in this altar. We'll pray with you today. But get in the game. Get in what God is doing in this season of life. Can we lift up our hands all across the house right now? Why don't we just pray this? God, use me. Use me, Lord, to be a difference in this world. The world is crying out for people to make a difference. And you can do that here today. So we're going to sing one more song. And I wonder if we can fill these altars today. I wonder if we can find somebody to connect with and agree with in prayer. And we just pray, Lord, use me for your glory. God, I pray in Jesus' name, use this church, oh God. Lord, I pray you wouldn't find us on the sidelines.